Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. This is your host, Laura Reeves, and I am joined again today by Bridget Higginbotham and Shannon Stone from Sirius Canine Fertility, and we're talking about junk. Good junk, bad junk, swimmers and not-so-good swimmers. And we've got some great tips today for working with your stud dog and tips that you can do with fresh chilled, with frozen, with all kinds of stuff to do with your boys and your junk. So go, Bridget. What do we got today?
Well, I thought we'd cover just a couple of things regarding fresh chilled.
Excellent.
Sending fresh chilled. It's become very popular, and that would be kind of a nice thing to cover. One of the big things is volume. People collect their own stud dogs at home, and we're all very impressed with volume. We want to give you two or three tubes of, you know, prostatic fluid to show that your boy's quite the stud dog. Prostatic fluid should not be shipped with semen. So prostatic fluid, it's actually Mother Nature's super booster. So it's meant to make all the sperm swim their little brains out, and in doing so, it takes all the life out of the sperm in transit.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. So there's some medias that are out there on the market for doing fresh chilled that are a little more user-friendly if you don't have centrifuges and such. Those
right.
are good questions to actually ask when you're buying those. But there are some that absolutely, if you ship in those medias with the prostatic fluid, the semen will arrive dead. So
okay. So the DIY is a little challenging, more than you might think.
Exactly. If you have a centrifuge, it is good. Maybe spend some time with your repro vet or somebody that can show you how to spin the semen down. Buy a centrifuge, show you how to spin it down, how to pull off some of that. Or if you are really good at collecting, learn to just collect the sperm rich part and not throw all that prostatic fluid in there. You really should only have a couple cc's of volume that you're going to be adding to your media. So that's a really important one. We get a lot of samples in that are just, the sample's really been compromised because of all the prostatic fluid.
Okay.
And most of the time you're going to have to take your volume down to do your procedure anyway. So good thing to keep in mind. Medias. There's a bunch of different types of fresh chilled medias out
right.
there. To be honest, everybody goes, oh, what's the best one? It depends on your dog. To be honest, most of the commercial medias that are out there are very good. Zoetis has one. That's the green media people are mm-hmm. used to seeing. ICSB has one. MOFA has one. Clone has one. Everybody has one. There's other kind of generic egg yolk types of media.
Right.
Some people use horse equine extender. All work really, really well. Test them on your dog. I recommend people try a sample out before they actually need it.
And that's a great question. Personal situation, another our test cases, you know. I had a particular dog that would not extend. Is that something the semen just died?
Well,
yeah.
Did you try him with multiple medias?
And I didn't. And so this is
yeah,
my question. Is
exactly.
that something?
Okay. Definitely. Because some are egg yolk based. Maybe the dog doesn't do so well with that. Some have different antibiotics in it. One of the things, too, is that some of the thaw medias, but also some of the shipping medias have caffeine in them. And caffeine is great. It looks great when you look at it on a slide, but it's actually lessening the lifespan of the sperm. So
they're burning themselves out quicker.
Tricky
doodle.
Exactly. So that is something good to keep in mind, too. Just there's a lot to it. Try a couple of different types of media. Keep a couple of different things on hand and always try to prepare ahead of time.
Okay, prepare ahead of time. A great topic of conversation with fresh chilled.
I think that as a responsible stud owner, mm-hmm. you should know what your dog, that should be your stud dog management 101. Hey, I have this hot stud. Everybody wants to use him. Let me go get him collected and let's extend it in two or three or four different medias and hold it for a week.
And let's have an evaluation done.
Yeah.
How's his morphology?
Exactly.
How's his count?
Yeah.
All of those things.
And we do have people come in. I want to put him in all these medias. And you guys hold it. I want a 7-day test.
Right.
We look at it every day. We see which one it works the best in. And as a bitch owner, too, I would want uh-huh. somebody to, you know, take the time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that costly, and it only takes a little bit of their time.
Okay.
All right. And I think that's a really important one is the be prepared. Have a kit.
Absolutely.
Know what you're going to do.
Have your ice packs frozen. Yeah. Have it ready to go when it's time to ship.
Right. And recommendations then to the bitch owners who are going to call you up and say, oh my God, she needs to be bred yesterday.
That never happens.
No.
Keep people in the loop. There's nothing worse than that 3 o'clock call and you got till 3:15 and FedEx is about to leave town. And keep people in the loop. We have a board at the office and we much prefer people call us and let us know. Today's progesterone was at such and such. And we'll track them out for 2 weeks. And we would much prefer that. You can't prepare and plan enough, honestly, for these things.
Right. So successful, fresh, chilled, plan ahead.
Plan ahead. If it's a weekend, if it's a holiday, please plan ahead.
It's guaranteed.
Exactly.
Yeah, FedEx doesn't deliver on Sunday, you know. So your bitch owner is aware, if she needs to be bred on Sunday, what do I do?
What do you do?
Well, a lot of times we'll have bitches that say need ideally would be bred Saturday, Sunday. You can get a collection Friday for Saturday, collect Saturday, and we will get it Monday. If you know what your dog extends the best in, Monday should be no problem. You're probably typically at day 5 on Monday, but it's better than putting nothing in.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about, I've had some success and I know people who've not. So your thoughts on the longer extenders that are now available? It used to be you had this amount of time. Now you have some extenders that are claiming that you can get 5 days or longer extension. What's your thoughts on those?
There's only so much energy and so much life any cell has. If a sperm cell has a lifespan of 10 days and you're getting a media that's going to keep it alive for 10 days, that's great. But yeah, we tend to push that, you know? So if you're not breeding the bitch till day 9 of that being collected, you don't have a lot of time for that sperm cell to be able to do the job where it needs to get the job done. So I've noticed that really we all tend to push that, you know, that window. Mm-hmm. I prefer that you just try to send the semen when you need it. Sometimes a day, maybe two. Personally, we never recommend people actually try to extend them out to like 8 or 10 days or a week. Mm-hmm. Ship it when it needs to be shipped.
Okay.
Or close to it.
Okay.
The plan ahead.
Yeah.
Plan ahead.
And better in the bitch than in the box.
Absolutely.
Or a fridge.
I like that. Better in the bitch than in the box. That's a good one.
Yeah, well, so extend it out for 9 days? You know, if you are tracking your bitch, if it's going to live for 9, 10 days anyhow, it's going to live better in her than it's going to live in the refrigerator. So. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And if it's going to be stud dogs leaving the country, stud dogs, you know, going on a show circuit, you're not going to have access, then get frozen semen. You're better to do that than to try to extend a fresh chilled sample out for that
one. So moving into frozen then, tips on frozen.
Tips on frozen.
Speaking of prepared,
we get a lot of people that ask just a couple of quick little things. What's the difference between straws and pellets? How many pellets are in a breeding unit? Those types of things. Straws, there's certain companies, it's all depending on the company that's doing your frozen semen. Straws are done by some companies, typically 3 to 5 straws per breeding unit. So then when people hear that with pellets, they go, oh, so 3 pellets? No, it does not correlate. 1 vial of pellets is going to be 1 breeding unit. There may be 3 pellets, there may be 30 pellets. That's all going to depend on who processed it and the dog's sperm count.
That's a mathematical equation.
It's a math, which really, yeah, it isn't of that much importance. But keep that in mind, because someone may send you 10 straws, well, that may only be 2 breeding units. If they send you 10 vials, typically you have 10 breeding units. So it's different math.
Yep. Absolutely different math and important to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are thawing frozen semen, there's lots of ways to do that wrong and only a few ways to do it right.
Absolutely. Make sure, and this sounds crazy, but read directions. Read the instructions. If your veterinarian is used to dealing only with pellets, and you're going to ask them to thaw straws, there's a different technique. They're very different. Straws tend to take a little bit longer in the thaw process. Pellets are a very rapid flash thaw. I mean, and by that, I mean 15 seconds. Very fast. They can get cooked very easily. We have some issues with people who are used to thawing straws, just the opposite, and they're used to thawing for a couple of minutes while they're going to cook the pelleted method semen.
Okay. So that's something that you need to, as a bitch owner, speak to your veterinarian about.
Absolutely.
And plan ahead. Again, because maybe if that veterinarian's not up to speed on thawing one method or the other, call that facility and ask them questions. So that's another good piece too. If somebody sends a specific thaw media to use with that semen, it's probably a good idea to use it. So sometimes there's booster media, sometimes there's other reasons why a specific media. Maybe they've tried thawing the dog in different things and he doesn't thaw well in one or the other. So that's a good thing to do too. Again, caffeine medias can be used a lot of times for a thaw, and that's great. But if your sperm cell, when it's thawed out, has a lifespan of 12 hours and you use a the caffeine median, now you got about 6. So just keep
back to that progesterone timing.
Exactly.
Being super critical.
Exactly. And it's important to know the type of semen that you're using always dictates the timing rather than the method. Whether you're doing TCI or surgical doesn't really change the timing on it. It's the type of semen that you're going to use. Fresh living the longest, then fresh chilled, and then frozen. So
fascinating. Okay.
Timing's more critical for frozen for sure.
Okay. And when you're working with frozen, you were mentioning a little bit earlier, not just the difference between the pellets and the straws, but talk a little bit more on the frozen, because I know I talk to people and they say, but I'm scared. It's frozen. I haven't had a lot of success. Where are places that you're seeing holes where people are not getting success with frozen semen?
Timing. Your timing has got to be right on. We still have people say, oh, well, you want to breed 48 hours after ovulation, you know, and we can go back to that other segment of when was ovulation.
C-section
and
number one.
Exactly. Replay. But yeah, so I mean, timing is usually a huge reason why they miss. Operator error. Who's thawing your semen? How are they doing with all of that? Are they thawing it before a TCI and leaving it on the counter for 4 hours because it was a difficult TCI, or because they're low on staff, so they're going to thaw it ahead of time and leave it out? All of those things can take a play in this. So yeah, I think
The progesterone is the big one. Absolutely.
Timing. Right.
For when somebody calls, what's the most important thing? That's the first word out of your mouth. Timing.
Okay. And you mentioned in this conversation just now, you said the longest lived is your just collected side-by-side AI.
Yes. A little note here, because we did actually have this a couple of times. Side-by-side AI does not necessarily mean the bitch and the stud dog are directly next to each other during the procedure. We actually had somebody upset because they wanted a side-by-side, collected the stud dog in one room and did the AI in the other, and she was upset that it wasn't side-by-side. That's what she was told to have done. So, yeah, that's kind of funny. When you're doing, now we talked about like fresh chilled and prostatic fluid and amounts and things like that. When you're doing a side-by-side AI or a fresh semen AI, it's okay to keep the prostatic fluid because it was meant to boost that semen and, you know, you want some more volume for that. If you have 2 cc's of semen, if the stud dog for whatever reason doesn't produce a lot of volume, you need to boost up the volume on it. You need to add a media or do something
and
with that.
And that's in an absolute fresh collection.
Fresh, exactly. The stud dog's there, the bitch is there, you're doing the AI
prime
right
example.
There.
I had a friend. She went, did all the progesterone timing on her bitch and was doing a fresh collection AI. And it was an older dog, did not produce a lot of prostatic fluid, which is not uncommon for older dogs. And they did not add any extender media. And the bitch didn't end up getting pregnant. And when we went back and I spoke to this woman, she was asking questions about it. And she said, well, would you have added media? And said, absolutely. Because that's what that prostatic fluid nature intended. The sperm feed on that. It helps them get to where they're going.
That's their traveling lunch.
Exactly. Right.
Gets them to the promised land.
Yeah.
Well, and some have antibiotics in it. And there's other different reasons why medias can be a really good thing. Again, have them on hand ahead of time. That's a good thing. They can stay frozen for quite a while.
Well, and I think what we're really hearing and talking about here that I think is so important to just hammer consistently is fresh collection and insemination that didn't involve actually flesh touching.
Parts touching other parts.
No doubt, yeah. And fresh chilled.
Fresh chilled, yep.
And frozen.
Your fresh
and
can live 7 to 10 days. Exactly. Very different.
And need to be handled very differently.
Yep, exactly. Your fresh semen can live a week. As we talked about, you've got 10-day meat. You've got all of these things that it can really, you can have a lot of wiggle room. You're fresh chilled. You've lost a day or two in transit. You know, it's been beat up a little bit, so it's probably not going to live quite as long. And then you're frozen 6 to 18 hours, depending on the dog, the stud dog.
I always try to say is whenever you're processing semen, whether it is fresh chilled or frozen, whatever process you put that semen through, you're going to lose some integrity. So the better semen quality you start with, hopefully you end with better. But fresh chilled, every day you're going to lose some integrity. You know, so the fresher that chilled is, the better.
If your stud dog is if your stud dog is 2 years old, whether you're shipping fresh chilled or freezing semen on him, it's going to be a better sample most likely than if your dog is 10. You know, he may still have semen, but
I think that's a really great point. I'd like you to expand on that a little bit. Having personal experience with this, sad personal experience with this. Speak to the concept of if you have a young and promising stud dog, he's just finished all of his clearances, he's just 2 years old, you know,
get
that someone somewhere down the line.
Get him frozen. Get him frozen, absolutely. Worst thing you can do, and this happens all the time, is somebody will bring in a 12-year-old dog, and they say, all of a sudden, he's gotten popular. Everybody wants to breed to him, and the dog's got 4 sperm cells, and, you know, and the people are upset. You know, well, we've never used him. I know. The body kind of has a use-it-or-lose-it mentality, so if you're not regularly using this dog, there's a good chance you're going to have a lot of issues down the road. Much better to collect that dog, freeze the semen, and you can always throw it out. It's really hard to go back the other way. So please do that. Please get them done when they're young.
Yeah, I think that's a really important tip for us to keep in mind.
Absolutely.
Because having lived that, it's...
Yeah, it's not fun. Exactly. And it's common. We get a lot of people who do that. Maybe the dog's ill, whatever. So that's good. One of the things that I kind of wanted to mention, too, about the frozen semen, actually any semen, but frozen semen specifically, is there's some new technology that's really, really cool. At this point, there's only a handful of facilities that can actually do this with the equipment. We are one of them, thank goodness. Viability testing, which is a very different concept. We're used to saying, what's the motility? What's the motility? If the sample has 90% motility, that's great. But if 10% of the sperm cells are actually viable and can get the job done, that's a total different equation. We now have the ability to check some of this viability on these samples.
Wow.
So totally new technology. It's very, very cool. And so that's a really good thing. I mean, if you have a frozen sample that's been frozen for a while, and people say this all the time, it has never worked. We've used it 10 times. It has never gotten a bitch pregnant. And you look at it, you've got great motility. It's packed. It's got great numbers. Take a look at the viability on that. See how many are actually able to get the job done. Viability has to do with on the head of the sperm cell, you've got a protein there that if it's breached at all, it can actually make the sperm will swim. It'll look like everything's good, but it can actually penetrate the egg.
Fascinating.
If there was damage done in the freezing process or the dog was ill or whatever, there's many different things that can cause issues with that acrosomal shell on the sperm head. So,
and you guys are actually able to see that? Or...
Yes. Yep.
We have a machine that tests the viability. And it's an absolute...
Sorry, that's super cool.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of breeders recently that had some issues. Dogs were not getting bitches pregnant. They hadn't had a pregnancy in a long time. Went back on their frozen samples, and even though they look good when we look at the sample, we actually discovered viability was extremely low. Started adding, like, maybe it was 3 or 4 breeding units together to make one to make the viability work with the numbers, and she's got litters. She's dropping litters all of a sudden, and it's really exciting for somebody. She never would have known this without that.
Oh, yeah. That's
so
huge.
That is huge, and it's a really, really good piece to know on the dog.
Yeah.
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
It can get real expensive later.
Yeah.
So, but that's good. And like I said, the technology is so new that there's only a few places that actually do it at this point, but they can certainly always ask us. Maybe we can refer them to somebody in their area.
Excellent.
Or you can ship a sample in and we can always check that too.
Okay. Excellent. Well, we'll have some details about that on our show notes.
Good deal. Good deal.
You had one more thing. Yes. That was the one. I want you to talk about, Bridget brought this and I love this topic. So let's go.
It's a little bit on diet for both stud dogs and brood bitches. The topic of phytoestrogens comes up. One thing with dogs, reproduction, or with a lot of things, but with reproduction especially, one size does not fit all. So one dog may have a sensitivity to phytoestrogen, another dog may not. We hear things like, oh, you know, I can't feed any food that has flaxseed in it, or I can't feed any food that has pea or soy. Those are all phytoestrogens. Phytoestrogens in the body can convert to an estrogen-like substance in the body. So
thereby impacting your sperm count.
Absolutely. Can mess up your hormone levels in bitches, too. But the thing is, say you have a stud dog that's low in estrogen, maybe flax or a substance like that is going to be beneficial, whereas if you have another dog who's got a high estrogen load, adding more estrogen is not going to do good. So it's all individual, you know.
And so how do we test for that?
A lot of trial and error, actually, with stuff like that, to be honest. When we kind of rule out some other things, we'll look at it and go, let's take this out of their diet and try this. What we do, I think, a lot of times as breeders is more is better. If we hear flax is good for their coat, or we hear it's good for their heart, whatever, we go, let's give them not this much that's the recommended dose. Let's really give them a lot because we really want a great coat. Those types of things are not recommended with products like that. It's going to be really hard to find a dog food that doesn't have any flax, any soy, any of, you know, a pea protein is very popular lately. And again, same with bitches. It may be a little bit beneficial if you have a bitch that's low in her estrogen level, or it may be detrimental if she's really high in that. But something to keep in mind and discuss with your veterinarian.
Right.
And when you're giving supplements and you're adding things into their food and all of that, remember that and bring that up with your veterinarian because it's an important piece that they may want to have you stop giving those types of things.
So what other do's and don'ts for your stud dog? We did our stud dog management, but some tips about common causes.
of infertility or issues like that?
Yeah.
Stress. I think stress is always a huge one.
Stress is huge.
Yeah. If you have a nervous dog and you travel with him, or you've got a lot of company coming over, they've got a lot of children, there's so many different scenarios that can cause stress in a dog. And that's huge. Stress is huge. Stud dogs and brood bitches.
Right.
Actually.
Right.
That's really
huge. Well,
you
see brood bitches that'll pop out of season.
Absolutely.
When you ship them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, and I think go with that same thought process. You have a young dog that finished his championship and you're thinking, I may send him out next year to be campaigned. Get him collected and frozen first.
Mm-hmm.
Because when that dog's on the road weekend after weekend after weekend, all the bad stuff he's exposed to, he may not visibly show any signs of like an infection or something, mm-hmm. but it can affect their sperm.
Absolutely.
So,
sure.
You know, plan ahead. There you go. Plan ahead. That word again.
our word for today, planning.
Yeah, plan ahead.
Love it.
The only other tip that I wanted to mention, this seems like common sense, but you'd be surprised. Fresh chilled when you're shipping those samples out. Even if it's you shipping it, not your vet, please label the sample. When people like a facility like ours, you may get 10 samples in that day, and it is never good when you're having to figure out whose sperm that is by the air bill that's on the box and where it came from.
Did that last week.
It happens more than you know, and then we start making the owners sign waivers that this is how it showed up. And please, just put the dog's name, breed, the date it was collected, something real simple. But anytime you're shipping to anywhere, really, you should be labeling that. So can't emphasize that enough. Yay.
Good one, B.
Yes.
Okay, and you had a seminar in December, and you've got some more stuff coming up.
Yeah, it was a really outstanding seminar here. We had three different speakers. It was over 2 days. We had Dr. Kirk Esmond from Texas. We had Dr. Marty Greer from Wisconsin.
Yes,
she's
yes.
the bomb.
She is the
we
bomb.
Had Becky Williams from Southern California. It was a fabulous, fabulous event. It was so popular and so well received. A lot of interest in it. We are putting it as an online download for people, so they will have access to everything from the handouts to everything online.
And we will provide a link
yes.
to that from our show notes.
Yes.
So people that want to access that information, that is amazing.
It'll be just like they're at the seminar for 2 days. So it's going to be really, really amazing. It's a work in progress right now. We've got, I think Dr. Esmond's is done, and we're working on the other two.
Wow.
So,
that is
yay.
Very exciting. Listeners,
yay.
I'm just going to tell you, you need to go visit this because this is going to be very cool. All right. Well, thank you, ladies. And we're going to have more to talk about in our next episode about exporting semen. All right.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.